Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Twenty-one years ago, within hours of the collapse of the Twin Towers on the morning of September 11th, the missing persons signs, posters, began going up. They went up outside hospitals, on fences, on trees, and light posts, and store windows. They were up at Union Square and at St. Vincent Hospital and on the fence at St. Paul's Chapel. Thousands of flyers went up around the city, and they stayed up for days, for weeks, even for months. This person is missing. Please call if you see her. This person is missing. Please call. Please pray for him. On a day like today, on an anniversary, we remember. We remember the losses. We remember the pain of people, including some in our church family, who lost someone precious that day. They never forget. They never forget what they lost. On an anniversary, we remember with them. There are some things that once you lose them, you do not get them back. A life, a person, irreplaceable. There is no changing that loss. There is only the coming to terms with it. Innocence. That's another thing that once you lose it, you don't get it back. You can't revisit. You can't revive, resurrect naivete or innocence or ignorance. Lost time. That's another one. Benjamin Franklin taught us that. Another lost thing that cannot be found again. You don't get back lost time. I remember losses that are not on the order of those losses. Losses that I still carry. Surely you do too. I remember the first time I lost something that I knew for certain I was not getting back. It was a small loss, but I was a small child, and it was the first one, and so I still remember it. And I've told this story before. If you remember my telling it, I hope you'll bear with me. It's possible I'm still coming to terms with this loss after all these years and decades. I was 5 years old. We had just gotten home from some type of carnival or fair. My mother, my little brother, and me. I had brought home with me a helium balloon from the fair. So you already know how this is going to end. I was so excited to bring home that helium balloon that somehow stayed magically up the way no other balloon seemed to do. It had been tied in a loop around my wrist so I wouldn't lose it. But somehow that loop was still large. And as I slipped out of the back of the car, it slipped off my skinny little wrist and over my skinny little hand. And the next thing I knew, there it went. And I can still see my mother on her tiptoes trying to grab that string for me and save my balloon, trying as fast and as hard as she could, but it was just beyond her fingertips. And away it flew. Actually, my memory gets a little distorted at this point, because in my mind, for all these years and all these decades, what I actually see Still, to this day, is my mother on her tiptoes on a ladder against the house trying to reach that balloon. Where that memory comes from, I don't know. Surely there was another time my mom was on a ladder, but somehow, in my mind, it was when she was trying to save my balloon. Doesn't make sense. How would she have had time to go get a ladder? How would she have then scrambled up that ladder so fast that she could almost reach the balloon? Even as a kid, I knew I was remembering that part wrong. And yet, on a metaphorical level, I was remembering that part right. That memory is perfectly accurate. This is what a mother does when she can. This is what a father does when he can. They go to great lengths. They go to any lengths to protect their child from grief, from premature loss. They try to find what has been lost and bring it back. But my mom couldn't protect me from that one, because a helium balloon just wants to go. And all these years later, I can still remember the exact way it felt watching that balloon float away just past her reaching hand, that dropping sensation in my stomach, the way a hole kind of burst open inside me, the way I felt those same things the first time my own children lost helium balloons. And then there's that automatic rewind of the brain, thinking of what I should have done differently. What if I'd gotten out of the car differently? What if I had held on to my wrist? All those things we think through when we have lost something, immediately we trace back, not necessarily to where we can find the lost thing, but to all of the ways we messed up along the way. If we had just done this differently, if this had been done differently, we wouldn't have lost it. We wouldn't have lost her. We wouldn't have lost our way. Such a sharp, potent, painful mix of longing and regret when you cannot undo what has just happened, when you cannot get back what you had just a moment before. I know. It was just a balloon. It was just a balloon. Isn't that one of the ways we try to soften those awful feelings that go along with losing something? We tell ourselves it didn't really matter so much. Or other people tell us that. It was just a balloon. It was only a doll. It was just hair. But there are times you know how much something really does matter. And you just have to try to find it, so you will keep looking. Sometimes for days, sometimes for longer. For the cat who ran away, the dog who got out of the yard, the ring that slipped off while you were doing the dishes. There will be people who say you need to give up, that you can replace what you lost, that you need to accept that you just are not going to find it. But sometimes the thing matters just too much to give up, and you will keep looking, even if there doesn't seem to be any hope of finding. And sometimes it's only after you lose a thing that you realize how much it actually mattered to you. Loss has a way of focusing you, of focusing us. It makes you see. It makes you realize more than ever what really matters. When Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem, he told some stories about this He'd been on the road for a while, teaching all along the way, and more people were coming to listen to him, drawn by the things he was saying and doing. They had found something in him that maybe they had not even realized they'd been looking for. They had found something. They had been found by something. And a lot of these people, maybe most of them, were not your typical religious types. And he welcomed them. And the religious types did not care for that. He welcomes sinners and he eats with them, they said. That's the typical religious people grumble that you hear surrounding him. Sometimes when you're a part of an institution, you're part of a tradition, you just get so caught up in maintaining things the way they are that it can be very difficult to see clearly what actually matters, what really matters. So Jesus told them, the grumbling folks, some stories to try to help them get some perspective. He asked the scribes and the Pharisees directly, which one of you, if you had 100 sheep and you lost one, wouldn't leave the 99 to go searching for the one that you lost until you found it? And when you found it, you would lay it on your shoulders and you would rejoice and you would carry it home and you would call together your friends and neighbors and you would say to them, celebrate with me, I have found my sheep that was lost. I know. It was just a little lost lamb. There was still a whole flock left. But according to Jesus, that one sheep mattered so much that the 99 were left and the one was brought home and a party was thrown. And Jesus implied that any of them would feel the same way and do the same thing. I don't know what the scribes and Pharisees thought about that. Luke doesn't tell us their answer. Would they have thrown a party after finding one little lost lamb? Was it true what he said? Was it true that they would leave the 99 and go look in the wilderness to find the lost one? Was it true that they would call their friends together for a celebration? I don't know. But I know what it feels like to find something like that. Don't you? I know what it feels like to find something you thought might be gone for good. But then you look, and you look, and you look, and you somehow, finally, miraculously, it seems, find it. Don't you want to tell everyone? Don't you want to post it on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram? Look, a picture, my little lost lamb. Jesus knew what that felt like too. So he told another story. If a woman had 10 silver coins and she lost one, wouldn't she light a lamp and sweep and sweep and sweep and search until she found it? And when she found it, wouldn't she call all of her friends and neighbors together and say, let's party. The coin I lost was found. I know, it was just a coin. And how much did she spend to throw the party? Who knows? Was it true that most women would do what Jesus said and burn precious oil to light a lamp and clean the whole house to find the one coin and then throw a party when she found it? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know what it feels like to find something you were afraid might be gone for good. I know what it feels like when that thing had not only sentimental value, but actual economic value. And I know how awful it feels when that thing gets lost. And I know how completely amazing and nearly miraculous it feels to find that thing. I know how it feels to want other people to share in my amazement and joy and celebration, don't you? found it. I found that thing I've been telling all of you I had lost. That thing I've been crying over that you told me to stop looking for. Look, I found it. Jesus knew. Jesus knew. And then he told the scribes and Pharisees to imagine that what he was talking about was not possessions, not sheep, not coins, but people. I can imagine that. Can't you? Because I know what it feels like to lose somebody that I thought was gone for good and to fear the worst. And I know what it feels like to then hear the impossible words. Here he is. I found him. I found him. He's okay. And I know this. When that happens, there really is nothing else to do but to cry and to laugh and to cry some more and to take him home and then gather everyone you can and tell them the amazing story of how he was lost and then he was found. So let's celebrate. Let's party. Jesus knew. Jesus knew. If you lose something or you lose someone that matters very much to you, if there is any chance at all at finding it or him or her, then you are going to look and look and look. You will turn the house upside down. You will turn your life upside down if you have to. You will do everything, everything, absolutely everything in your power to recover that person or to save their life or to bring them home or to bring them to recovery or whatever it means in your scenario to get what matters back. A restored relationship. A restored life, a resurrected life. And then whatever it is, whether it's a pet or a coin or a ring or a person, when you get back the thing you were afraid was gone for good, what can you do but share the good news? Because the one thing better than joy is joy that is shared. Come celebrate with me, you will say. I found it. I found him. I found her. Let's party. This is what God is like, Jesus told them. God is like a shepherd who goes into the wilderness to find a single lost sheep because that one little sheep matters that much. God is like a woman who will light a lamp and turn the house upside down to find a single lost coin because that coin is worth that much. God is like someone who will look and look and look for us, for you, for me, for him, for her, for them, because we matter, because we are irreplaceable, because God yearns for us. And when we slip away from God, when we turn away from what matters most, God keeps coming for us. God will keep coming for us. God will never, ever stop reaching a hand towards us. And when we turn towards God, and that's what repentance is, it's a turning. When we turn towards God, who has always been turning towards us, there is from God no rebuke, no shame, no anger, no meanness that we turned away in the first place. There is only this joy. So much joy. Joy that has to be shared. Are we the sheep? Are we the coin? Are we the balloon floating just out of reach? Are we the seekers? Are we the sought after? Are we the religious who have lost sight of what matters? Are we the sinners who have found something in Jesus we didn't know we'd been missing? Are we the lost ones? Are we the found ones? Are we the ones who know we have been found? Are we the ones who have been invited to rejoice, to celebrate with the great party thrower? Maybe we've been all those things. But look, Jesus says, here is who God is. God is the one who comes looking for us always, always, and not just for us. God is the one who desires each one of us so much that the search will never stop. God is the one who decided we matter, that we are precious, that we are irreplaceable, that we are so loved, and that we are so worthy of so much love. God is the one we belonged to from the beginning, that we belong to still, and God is the one who finds us, who keeps finding us, and who brings us home with joy. And if we believe that, if we say we belong to God, that we have been found by such a God as this, by such love as this, then we realize that we are not the deciders of who is in and who is out, of who is lost and who is found, of who is sinner and who is saint. In God's great celebration, there is never any place for judgment or shaming. There is only welcome. There is only desire for all to come. There is only celebration. There is only invitation. And the invitation is only ever this. Let's celebrate. Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. Rejoice.